So what's going on? Why are you so late to this? I woke up early to watch the episode, write down my notes, and you said, "Oh, yep, 9:30, and we're gonna plan for 9:30, and our backup will be 10, and it is currently 10:23.
Sorry. Yeah, I watched the episode actually last night. Watch the episode. You should be proud of me. And morning, my niece called me, and she's 3, and she took me splashing in puddles.
Wow, that's very, very cute. Your niece and Kevin have a lot in common.
This feels weird, drinking coffee and not tequila.
I know. I pulled you and Mikkel this morning. Past 2 mornings, because we've been staying over at my folks, and I've been waking up Deanna in bed with coffee and little almond cookies. We have these little chocolate hazelnut cookies.
Oh, those are good. So Italian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how we do it.
It really sounds, your morning voice really makes you sound like you're trying to sound like a cowboy. Like this is like you playing the part of like a cigarette ad.
I just have a deep voice in
you
the morning.
And then it gets, you must like breathe super heavy through your throat at night.
Yeah, I throat the air in the room while
Stop.
I sleep.
If we have to have every single podcast episode use that language of throating, I don't think there's been a single episode yet where you haven't said something has been throated, you've throated something, and someone else has throated me. I just, it can't happen anymore.
I don't know. It's so unsettling. I really like using it.
Well, now I feel like we just got to keep it going. All right, so episode
7. We're on 7.
Wow, we're almost done. Bachelorette Canada. Yeah. This has been a real journey. This is for the first time throughout this whole podcast coverage, I've finally watched an episode, rewatched an episode, and that was this episode. It was challenging to do. Like to be honest, I thought I'd wake up, because I watched it last night, I thought I'd wake up in like the worst mood of my life, but it actually is fine. Sure. I feel like 5 years, you know, all of these individual parties involved are super happy, everything is good in the world. But when you really think about it, it's like, even knowing that everyone is happy in their lives and everyone's good, it's really weird to watch back relationships that you've been in. How often does anyone ever have to do that? You can finish a relationship and you can look back on it. It's in your memories. Those memories begin to fade. But for anyone to see footage of their relationship is a bizarre situation to be in. So it's not even like it makes me miss anything. It just makes me feel uneasy inside. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, the closest people I think get to that is if you buy a new iPhone and you're going through the old iPhone and you go back to the first video you ever took, and it's like you and your ex 2 exes ago, cuddling
true.
In bed. And like, I think people get it a bit from there, but that's from their perspective. Like, it's not sent out to an audience. You don't have people's opinions given to you en masse. Like,
and romanticized in such a crazy way too, you know? Like, everything has music set to it too, which makes it more, I don't know,
intense.
More intense, but yeah, that's a weird little thing. But I just miss knowing these people. That's pretty much it.
Kevin P is, I just really like that guy. Mm-hmm. You guys have a date and he gets really into it all and talks about it. And it's just, he just is a really great speaker. But anyway, we should just get right into it. Hey?
Let's do it.
My question is, do you worry about all of these heightened dates raising the bar and your experiences with someone, that as soon as you are doing normal everyday things, wouldn't it just seem boring?
Yeah, that's, I think, a very common thing that people question about this show in general is like, okay, when you get into the real world, you're not going to be flying in helicopters to bat caves and, you know, whatever. You don't really get to know a person and what their day-to-day life is like at all through this experience. So that comes later. That comes later.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can take away the helicopter dates and you can take away all the other romantic events of being in this bubble. But does your regular life actually have any excitement in it? Do you have things in common? Do you like doing the same things? It's like, you also have to think about the things that you like to do for fun. Did those even align? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
like,
you're not making these dates.
Exactly.
Like, you don't go rock climbing and go and taste tea in Morocco. It's just like a standard everyday thing.
And I don't think, like, you know, jumping ahead here, but with Kevin, we didn't like doing the same things. And everyone's different. So it's like finding that compatibility within the mundane things in your life, but also in the exciting times. Like, does all of it align? So anyways, yeah, to answer your question, it's a tricky thing to really even be able to understand that while you're in this bubble. What are you giggling about?
Sorry, I have a great little photo I'm going to show you. We might have to put these onto a carousel on Instagram. They're just snapshots of Kevin doing weird things. Like, just him in motion. So it's this. This is when you guys get selected for a one-on-one date. It's the first date of the week. You meet him out in some kind of village way out in the kind of middle of nowhere. So you guys have some serious alone time. And you do farming and this and that. And you dress in traditional garb later on. And it's really interesting. But he arrives and you're already wearing the more traditional, like, localized clothing. And Kevin comes out in this traditional garb. And it looks comfortable as shit. I wish I could just lounge about in that outfit. I would imagine it's called a turban. Is it a turban or is it a different headdress?
I'm not sure if that's
what
it's called there, actually.
You have a quote that just says, "I really want to milk a cow." And then it just cuts right to the cow being milked. And the woman is so nasty at it. She's so good at it. She's like,
I know.
Just going. And I'm like, it looks so easy to see her do it. And I know in my heart it's difficult. And you do a pretty good job. You do about as good
a
job as...
I had a cow named Daisy and Sugar, two of them.
Daisy and Sugar. And I can tell you kind of know what you're doing. You're doing the best you can. Because I would imagine you have to do it constantly in order to, like, have that touch.
Dude, yeah,
my
it was
question
hard.
Is... Do you have to grease those nips in order to get a good tug and pull on them?
Yes, here's what was happening. She was dipping her... This is so... I'm having
dipping her fingers in the milk?
Yes, she was dipping her hands in the milk and going with it.
Oh, that's nasty.
Isn't that interesting?
That's wild.
It's like cream. It's like the creamy, fatty milk. So she would dip her hands in there and tug. Yeah, yeah. Pretty neat.
Jesus. There's a new porn category that's been stemmed just from this episode.
Oh, no. Stop.
Butter me up with milk. Anyway, so yeah, I asked, do they grease up those nips so they're easier to throttle? And then I use the word throttle, and then Kevin's turn comes up, and he's like, and he's grouping the nips, which in the movies I've seen, the woman who just did it in front of him, the woman he is apparently falling in love with, did. No one's grouping the nips. They're going nip at a time, two nips, running nips. And he's gathering nips and he's grouping them together and it's like he's squeezing a lemon. I'm like, dude, it was wild to see.
How crazy is it that the cows just like live inside their homes?
That was the other question. So this cow wasn't just brought in, it just lives there?
I mean, it was brought in. I think it lives outside and also comes inside. Like
does it have like a litter box?
It's like a pen. It's like a pen within the house, but the house is kind of like open. And has all these different rooms, and it was really cool. That was
the
best experience in
keeping a full grown cow inside of your home.
I can't answer the question. I have no idea if I'm even being accurate about this. But from what I recall, it was kind of like their farm and their home, and everything was sort of all one but separate at the same time. That was cool.
Oh my gosh,
that was a neat experience.
So then it moves on to the rooftop date. You guys get a little cleaned up, and I'm noticing these chairs. They look to be the most uncomfortable chair I could possibly imagine.
Okay.
They're like counter stools with no back, no arms, and the supports that come up at the corners go all the way to the seat. So you're just kind of sitting and the supports are just kind of in there with you. And it's just made of straw. I'm like, whoever designed this had no idea what they were doing. And if this is a traditional seating type in this area of Morocco, they need a lesson because this makes no sense. There's a reason you put a top on a seat and they just forgot it. I was just like, man, I wonder how long they were up there just getting pummeled by the supports of these seats. I mean, Jesus. You have a good little conversation with Kevin. We don't really need to get into it because he does his kind of Kevin thing in which he just says the right things. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell if he is capable of being deep and having conversations. And then you both say in separate interviews, I'm glad we were able to kind of work past our fight that we had in the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys had like an argument and I looked over at Deanna and said they didn't at all. You guys never resolved anything. You just talk about it and moved on, and that's super unhealthy.
I'm trying to remember though, Cole, if there was like a moment off camera where we did.
That would make sense.
I could be wrong. I think it's possible that we did have a little chat after the rose ceremony.
Oh, okay.
It's possible. I can't recall.
Because he seemed a lot better.
Yeah, everything seemed fine. Like, he showed up and we were all good. There was absolutely, it's like nothing happened. So I think something must have been resolved off camera.
Yeah, it was just interesting to have what is filmed be like, yeah, we're good. It's like,
yeah, totally. You?
That seems weird. And Deanna asked a question about you. Do you really like this person for them, or do you like them for how they feel about you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I definitely feel like a lot of what I was feeling was security. Feeling that Kevin liked me so much made me feel secure, which is something that I was looking for or maybe really needed at that time in my life. And so his, like, you know, tendency to get a little jealous or a little possessive was, in a very strange sense, a bit comforting for me and made me feel safe. And so that's a really interesting question that no one's ever asked me. And honestly, I mean, I didn't know Kevin that well. And so at this point, I think a lot of it did have to do with the way that he made me feel.
Wow.
Wow, Deanna. Thanks.
So the second date card comes up. They're back at the hotel. Kevin P. is selected. Good for that dude.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of doubts about Kevin P just because we haven't really dived into him. He's not had a one-on-one date with you. So I was like, you know, if he lasts, that's great. If he doesn't, it's just the way it is. They're either compatible or they're not. And that's honestly, at the end of this date, that's the conclusion he comes to as well. And we don't even really need to get into the date because it's adorable. You guys go rock climbing. I don't understand the setting of the pillows on the rocks.
I knew you were going to bring that up. On most dates, in case you haven't noticed, there's always a little cute spot for you to sit and have a drink or whatever, and that's they basically created that up on the High Atlas Mountains of Morocco, which was
interesting. I was just going, they really stretched this one.
I just feel bad for anyone who had to carry all that stuff up.
Yeah, but my notes on Kevin P through your guys' conversation is he seems guarded at first, then he opens up about it, and that he hasn't really talked to his mom. He didn't really dive into that, or maybe they just cut it. But he was like, you know, I'm estranged from my mom. I haven't talked to her in 15 years. You connected with your history, your family history. And you guys, it was the best conversation I think you've had with anyone that I can remember thus far. But it also told me that you guys are just not compatible and you're slowly realizing over the course of the conversation. What I really wanted to happen is for you guys to hug and be like, this just doesn't work. And I wanted him to be like, can we just be friends? Like, when all this is over, just shoot me a text and we'll hang out. Because you guys seem compatible as friends.
Which is exactly what has happened. Like, that's
beautiful.
It's great. And it's so funny because I just saw him not that long ago for coffee. Him and Benoit, actually. They were swinging through town. And I met them for coffee and we hung out for like a couple hours and it was great. And we all caught up and stuff. But I hadn't seen Kevin P because he was traveling all the time. He was actually living in China at the time that COVID hit over there. So he had to like leave his apartment. He lost all his stuff in his apartment because he couldn't go back and retrieve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I didn't see him. Like, it's not like we really got to hang out, but he is sometimes living in Vancouver. I still don't see him, obviously, because COVID, but it was nice to just have a little outdoor catch up with the two of them. And we talk, like, we talk regularly. We've always kept in touch. But in that moment, you know, like sitting on that rock and realizing that we would just be better as friends was such an eye-opening moment because I felt like, I mean, one, it was a realization that I needed someone who was a little different than me because I saw so much of myself in him and all of the fears and trepidation that he had towards diving into a long-term relationship was exactly what I had. And that fucking frightened me. Just him saying, you know, love doesn't last forever. I was like, I just wanted to like crawl out of my skin because at the time, at least, I was so scared of people just leaving. Like, I had that sort of like fear of abandonment or something that was going on in me at the time. And so that was like, I absolutely can't be with someone like this. This is my realization that I just can't be with people like this because if I am, then this is going to continue to happen. And it's not that I was always being like left by a man, but I did tend to jump into relationships that I knew had an end point, you know? And like, I would say within the last 5 years for me, since, you know, having that conversation and being at that place that I was, where I was very afraid of having my heart broken, I guess, and just putting myself out there, choosing relationships that did have an expiry date. That's not at all where I am now. And it's been like a slow progression to get to where I am now. And I would say that, you know, this conversation with Kevin was honestly a part of that. obviously becoming aware of something is what will help you to address those issues within yourself. So that was a really amazing conversation. And I know that it was fairly unprecedented in the world of Bachelor Nation for a conversation like that to actually get the airtime that it did. You'll realize as you start watching the American show, because that went on for a really long time. And that was a conversation that had some real substance to it. And it wasn't dramatic and it ended amicably. And the fact that they, like, I was watching it last night and I was like, damn, I cannot believe that they let this role for this long and they actually included all of it. It was,
it's
like
smart of them to do it.
I think that they were happy with seeing us have that realization, I guess.
So the date ends, Kevin P says goodbye, and it goes to the dude hang at the hotel, which these are just getting better and better. Mikkel seems drunk immediately. I'm going, Mikkel's definitely drunk because he's loud and he's like, and he's probably happy because, you know, Drew is gone. They all seem to be happier, and there's like a weight lifted off their shoulders, and they're all being much more kind to one another. Almost all of them say along the same lines, this is a group of really great guys. So whoever wins this is just lucky. And hopefully she just picks the person that's best for her. They all say along the same lines. The jealousy has its moments, but it's not long lasting because they all realize that they're actually pretty good friends for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to win something that wasn't meant to be won by you if it's authentic. So it's just refreshing to see this nastiness that Drew was. I mean, he really is like the leech. He just comes in and creates problem and makes everyone else stressed out. And all of the drama of the show is, for the most part, gone since.
Yeah.
And it's just so much better to see these guys actually be able to hold conversations and not be intense and hectic. But anyway, there's a dude hanging at the hotel. Kevin Fire walks in and joins up with all the dudes. And he says that he saw a guy clearing out KP's room. And the camera pans and turns around. All the guys go, oh, really? And they all look, and it's the same hotel clerk that removed what's his name's shit.
Thomas.
And he's just looking down at the ground, grabbing a suitcase, and they're like, oh my gosh. And then it zooms in more, and you just see him holding a ukulele case. This guy brings his ukulele everywhere. I've never heard of this, in which you always have to bring your uke.
What's he gonna leave it in Montreal?
Yes, you're gonna you're just leave it at home. It's such a weird thing to be like, okay, you can only bring two bags. You gotta have your scarf and your nice dress shoes and your capri pants in one bag, and you've got one other bag. What are you gonna bring? Probably my ukulele. Not extra clothes, not extra shoes. You don't know what you're gonna be getting into. There's not gonna be clothes provided for you. No, it's definitely gonna be my uke. My uke for sure. It's just such an odd thing to bring. Ring. Anyway, the second group date is announced. It's Mike, Benoit, and Mikkel, the other three guys, of course, and they're all walking through the market, the open air market, which in that's my comfort zone. If I know that my money is tight to my person, I don't have to worry about someone stealing things off me, because that's the only fear I ever have anywhere in the world, is that I would hate to be pickpocketed, not because of the loss of money, because it's like, they got me.
You weren't smart. Yeah.
They're smarter than me. They got me. But anyway, Mike, is the first thing he says is, yeah, dude, super uncomfortable in these crowds. Don't like being in these crowds. And I'm like, Mike, come on, bro.
I'll just cut to this one part where they're standing in the market. And this is another situation where time got cut short. And so the date got canceled. But I think
that was my question.
Yeah, I believe it was due to there being some sort of problem with timing or.
But it's actually not canceled. You guys just go back to the hotel and they're in street clothes. You're in a swimsuit a shawl on.
I know.
And the rest of the guys are just like, well, I thought we were going to a square. And you literally come in later on and say, why aren't you guys going in the pool? And they're like, we're in street clothing. It's the funniest thing I was like, why didn't she ask that? They're not in swimwear.
Cole, maybe you should think about the fact that I didn't know that they were standing in a street market waiting for me the whole time before this. I didn't know. I knew that date was canceled and that we were moving it to something else. I think we were short on time. I did not know that they were in the market. I didn't know that they were expecting a different date. I thought that we all were. I was told that we were meeting at the pool, so I assumed they were told we were meeting at the pool.
And so they just show up wearing street clothes and they're like,
what the hell's going on?
So we're gonna cruise through all these kind of little short one-on-ones that you get. Benoit gets a one-on-one with you first, and it seems like he asks you some question like, you know, I saw this sparkle in your eyes, and you did not respond. And you were like, what? And he's like, well, you know, I just want you to know that I really like you. And you're like, I really like you too. And he goes, oh, okay. And I'm like, every issue you have with this guy is that there's just a language barrier. There's nothing else.
I know. Because he was like, oh, I feel like it wasn't reciprocated when I told you that I saw that you're, I had the sparkle in your eye or something. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't know that a sparkly eye meant anything. I'm sorry. I missed that. I totally didn't even notice that happened.
Oh, my gosh. So Mike comes in and does one of the most awkward steals I've ever seen in my entire life. Because he's such a ripped guy. He comes in through the little curtain. And you guys, I mean, seemingly have been talking for 45 seconds. I'm sure it was longer. But how they edit it together, it seems like you sat down. Benoit asks a broken English question. You confirm that it's no big deal. You guys are all good. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he looks up. And Mike just comes through the curtain. He goes, hey, what's up? Okay, can I steal her away? Like, he says it, like, under his breath. He's just not, do you mind? And I'm just going, wow, Mike really is a homebody. Like, aww. This guy, I didn't realize how uncomfortable he was with all of it.
Mm.
I don't think he was put in a lot of situations in which he could be uncomfortable, but being in Morocco is making him super uncomfortable.
I would argue that he's often in uncomfortable situations being a first responder, but sure.
That all makes sense. Anyway, you have a conversation with Mike. I just said, you do not want to live in Winnipeg. I can just tell there's no way you live in Winnipeg.
Kenora is 2 hours away. Like, if I was going to be with Mike, I would have moved back to Kenora. And there would have been something really great about that, because it's almost like I'm always kind of looking for an excuse to live there again, just because it's where everyone that I love and care about lives. So being away from that is always sad throughout my life. So there was something about Mike, about him being from Winnipeg, which made me feel like, okay, there could be a reason for me to go back to my mom and my sister and all that and my friends. But I don't think I would have lived in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I would have.
I don't know anything about Winnipeg other than that Mike lives there. So
it's a city, and it happens to be close to my hometown in Ontario.
Is it a city or is it a town?
No, it's a city, like 600,000.
I'm going to look it up after this and we'll confirm.
It's the capital of Manitoba.
Oh, sorry. Manitoba.
Sorry. Oh my God.
To an American, it's just like... I
know, because you guys are freaking ignorant. Anyways.
So the boys talk pre-cocktail party again, after you have your little one-on-one dates with all of them. And as soon as Drew left, I noticed that Kevin becomes the alpha and the leader of the group for conversation. He just asserts his role, and he's not being demonstrative, or he's not disingenuous to anyone. He's not being like an asshole or anything, but he just starts the conversation and keeps it rolling. And I'm like, oh, this is an interesting side of Kevin. But I guess, you know, being a firefighter, you just learn to take control of things. So that makes a little bit of sense. It's announced there's no cocktail party.
Mm.
No cocktail party. It goes immediately to the rose removal. These guys are all standing. I think it's four guys left, hey?
Yeah.
And one's going to be removed. And I'm wondering, is there a contractual obligation for the men to wear pants that are only a certain height?
I don't know.
Is it like when you go into a school, in America at least, you go into a school and they're like, oh, your pants have to go past your ankles and girls can't have their shoulders. It's like this weird rules. But I'm wondering if it's a similar thing for these man's pants.
Because
it's weird. They're constantly, I'm going, there's no way they keep wearing these pants that look like pantaloons.
I think, Cole, that it's, listen, again, we're in a bubble. One person did their pants like that. The other guys were like, oh, I guess that's a fashion thing. And then they all just started doing their pants like that. And that's the end of it. That was just the end of it.
I'm really worried about it. Anyway, you have a quote that's right kind of at the beginning of the rose removal. You say, I'm not only looking for someone with future potential, but for forever potential.
Ooh.
And I'm like, kind of the same thing.
Listen, I wrote...
Your future is forever because it's ahead of you.
Yeah, but future
could
mean... There's
no end to it until you end.
No, that's not true. Future potential could mean that we have a relationship in the future. But forever would mean we have a relationship in the future that lasts forever. Cole, don't argue with me about this speech that I put my heart and soul into and probably have a bottle of wine, all right?
Mike is selected first. Then Kevin Fire is selected.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mikel is selected. and Benoit is going home. He has a really cute walk up to you. He's not mad, obviously. I mean, Benoit can't be mad.
Yeah.
Says goodbye. It's very, very cute. And they don't show the whole, you know, him getting into a car and going straight to the airport, you know?
Yeah.
He just leaves the hotel and walks down the street. And I just go, he just walked home, like, from Morocco. That's a long-ass walk.
Well, let me tell you something. He didn't go straight to the airport right then, because the next day we left Morocco and he was in the airport. And that sucked. That sucked. You say goodbye at the rose ceremony and then you're like, oh, hey, again. There, Benoit.
That'd be a little awkward.
It was incredibly awkward, and I think I have said this before, that they kept us separate. Maybe I didn't say this, but let me just give you a quick little rundown. When we were traveling in the airport, I sat in a different area of the plane. I never sat with them, because, again, we weren't really meant to interact off camera, just for the purposes of making sure that everything was captured. They weren't allowed to interact with me, so if they were in the airport, we'd wave to each other from afar, but their cast care people would keep them away from me, and my cast care person would keep me away from them, and there was always walkie-talkies so that we'd never interact in hotel hallways. Everything was coordinated so that we would never cross paths off camera.
So weird.
So weird, yes. But it makes sense in a way. But anyways,
yeah,
in the airport, that was always a weird time, because we all were traveling together and we were bound to see each other, but we were always just kept separate. So I might walk by them and be like, hey guys, and then just carry on. I was always with people too. I was never alone. And so unfortunately, I guess given the, maybe, I think Benoit was on the same flight as us. So that's why I saw him, and I tried to talk to him, and he was so upset with me that he wouldn't talk to me. And then I finally Yeah, I don't even know how I was able to, like, grab him, but I think he was going to the bathroom when I was or something, and then I was like, talk to me, I'm sorry, and I felt bad, and he was, like, pretty upset with me, and that was understandable, and it was pretty upsetting that we had to be in that situation where, you know,
yeah,
we
just booked two flights. How hard could that be?
Well, I guess it's Morocco, and there's only so many flights going back to Quebec.
Do you have a direct flight to Quebec?
Montreal to Morocco, yeah. I think it was, like, 10 hours.
Jeez, that's weird.
On the worst plane in the world. For some reason, we were on a plane. Gosh, I can't remember the airline. It wasn't a Canadian airline. I can't remember the name of it. I had never heard of it before. It wasn't an American airline either. It was like an African airline or something. Mm. But the plane was like some sort of backup plane or something. There was one of them, the seat came right off. Like, I think it was Mike's seat. Wasn't even attached. And then there was also like a phone, like the phones in there. It was old and it was just decrepit and falling apart. And I really thought that we might die. We didn't, but I really
thought
we
might. Oh my gosh. Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The last thing I'd like to close this out with is Benoit's leaving, and he's given this little interview, and it's pretty much a voiceover of him walking down a lone Moroccan street. Mm. And he says, my future wife was just looking for someone else.
Oh,
and I just looked over at Deanna, and Deanna's going, and I'm just, oh, it's so brutal. But
what, brutal because he said future wife, or brutal because he...
Yeah, a little bit of everything, but it's just like, it's such a Benoit thing to say. When he gets real, he's just, you know,
she just wasn't for me. He's a real feeler.
Yeah, definitely. He really gets feely. But yeah, the episodes are getting, you know, there's been... The last two episodes, I think, are kind of the least funny. They have their funny parts that come up. I am really excited to get into the Homeward Bound episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I think, that should be the entire show, is you go to a week-long family reunion with each one of these guys, and then you just have to pick. Yeah.
That would be intense.
Or it's like the guy and his whole family competes with the other guys and their families, and you all live in a huge ranch together for a month, and they compete and like challenges and dates and stuff. And the like, you know, maybe the guy's family doesn't come. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm starving. I need to eat food. I haven't eaten since yesterday at 7 p.m.
Oh,
so I'm like falling apart right now. But
all right.
This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad we got through this episode, because it's a bit brutal, and we're going to get into the fun episodes that finish up the season.
And fun is not the word I would use to describe it, but sure. All right. we'll talk to you in a little bit, and please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review if you can. We'll talk to you soon, friends.